just know what I can do. You know, at the end of the day, you got to believe in yourself. The world already is moving at a way to where people are scared to take risks, but it's not a risk. I know what I believe in. I lean on my faith. I lean on God. God is real to me. So I know what I can do. I work my ass off every single offseason. I work my ass off every single season. And I just know it. I'm the type of player that's going to show it. I just got to get in the right system. And I kind of slept on it, kind of going in, thinking that that kind of didn't abide. You know, maybe that you got players in sometimes not the best systems who can turn it around. But it does take all 11. You know, it definitely takes all 11.
That is Elijah Moore, Bills wide receiver, wearing number 18 yesterday at OTAs. I like 18 as a receiver number.
Thought he looked good yesterday. I have some video of him, Keon Coleman, other receivers. If you want to check that out at Sal Sports, of course, WGR550.com. That interview you heard right there, that was him and I caught up after practice. He was just walking with Josh Palmer and kind of, you know, walked over to him, introduced myself, said, hey, you got a few minutes. We started chatting a little bit. So it was very unscripted, unplanned. And he was gracious enough to spend some time. One of the things that stood out was, you know, him kind of being aware of talking about situation being mattered, you know, mattering. And, you know, being here in Buffalo. And I said to him, you know, in Buffalo, a lot of people wanted you drafted 4 years ago.
Yeah.
He said, well, I couldn't choose where I went, obviously, right? And obviously, things played out. He's glad to be in Buffalo. But there was a part, and I asked him, and I want to read this to you because I have the transcript here I was going through. So I basically asked him, like, what is the difference? I said, hey, you know, you have been at places that have not had team success. Like, what have you seen here that might have been different? Not to trash your old teams. Like, what have you seen here? And he said, actually, it's kind of funny. He said, I was talking about this with my wife last night, actually, how... He said, first of all, they're really tight. The guys are. He said, but, you know, you go into a team meeting, those guys are all dialed in. They got their notepads out. They're taking notes. They're listening. They're attentive to the coaches. And he said, it just kind of, and I'm not telling you, he didn't say anything about they didn't do that in Cleveland. He didn't say they didn't do that in New York. But he said, you're paying attention to what the coach is saying. Have the respect for the coaches and everyone else around you and everyone else around them. Someone listens, and it's stuff like that you see that, you know, he said it's never the big things. It's the little things like that that he's noticed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, very cool. Very interesting. He'll be wide receiver what this year? And when it's all said and done. Do you think it'll be number five by the end of the season?
It could be four. It's really him and Samuel, I think, four and five. That's what it comes down to.
It would stun
you. I don't think there's any difference. I don't think there's any doubt. It's Shakir, Coleman, and Palmer as your top three.
Yeah.
And if Coleman vaults to number one, that's fine. I'll put him first. But either way, that's your top three.
Yeah.
To me.
Would it stun you if Moore outplayed any of those three?
Like
once the season gets going. Like once the season, yeah, once the season gets going and it becomes a little evident that, all right, they've got something here and he looks like a more dangerous option than it could be any of the top three.
Aren't we all thinking that that could happen with Josh Palmer? Aren't they kind of the same type of player in a way? He has better speed, but it's a separator.
Sure.
They're not the biggest guy.
Similar skill sets, right?
Isn't that the guy he could replace in your scenario?
And then you look at it and
go, wait a minute, they just signed one guy for $9 million.
Yeah.
And they got the other guy that no one kind of wanted, and they just threw him this offer when he was they got that weird RFA or UFA thing put on him, but either way, they get him for, you know, $3.5 million.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting that, I mean, the Bills very much showed you who they value more. One player, no pun intended, one player got a sizable contract, multi-year contract, double-digit $1 million per year in Josh Palmer versus Elijah Moore, who is late free agent ad, one-year deal. Like, the league told you, not just the Bills, the league told you what they think of these two players.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills didn't give Josh Palmer, what is the number? Is it $11 million for Josh Palmer, $12 million
for Josh
Palmer?
Yeah, maybe I said nine. I'm sorry. I think maybe was that Curtis Samuel?
Samuel, I think, was 8 or 9.
Because Palmer is 11, maybe. Yeah.
They didn't give Palmer that money in a vacuum, right? They were bidding against other teams. And there would have been some semblance of what the market was for him. So the league said, Palmer's an asset. And the league also said, Elijah Moore, one-year deal. Prove-it deal. Not to say nobody could have offered him a two-year deal. He talked with you about, you know, how much his landing spot mattered and a competitive team mattered. Isn't it interesting, though, that the league valued one so much more than the other when in 4 years, they both played exactly 4 years, their numbers are almost identical. Like, they're pretty close. In four seasons, Moore's played 61 games, Palmer's played 58 games, and receptions, 182 versus 200, advantage Moore. 2287 yardage versus 2162, advantage Palmer. But it's within, it's like 100 yards different. 10 touchdowns for Palmer, 9 touchdowns for Moore. I mean, those are just the counting stats. But I wonder, is there a good answer why the league kind of valued Palmer so much higher than Moore at this point in time? Is it there's more to just the yardage, right? Who's a better and more physical blocker? I think answer would probably be Palmer on that front. So there might be other, you know, facets of the position that Palmer's more trustworthy in. But I noticed that it's a little strange that they got very different contracts and all their production looks almost the same.
So I think this is when you dig into the details of, are they able to play multiple positions, inside, outside, mm-hmm. right? Route trees, things like that. And then maybe there's things behind the scenes we don't know about. And I have no idea what kind of sure. teammate Elijah Moore is or has been or wasn't or anything like that. Were there some rumblings with the Jets that things weren't going well in New York? In the locker room, maybe, or with the front office or whatever?
I believe coaches? He has been suspended by his own team on both teams.
Okay.
That happened last year in Cleveland. We never got any details about why that happened. He went right back in, and there really was that was a weird one in Cleveland. I think he got suspended for a game for something detrimental to the team, but we never found out what it was, and you never had anything else. The Jets, there was, though. The Jets, but it was more about playing time, I think. Like, he didn't feel he was getting the ball enough in New York, which back then that might have been, I mean, it was Zach Wilson throwing the ball, so it might have gone over his head anyway. But, yeah, that could be right. That could be right. That there's more, there might feel like more of a risk with Moore off the field than there would feel with Palmer. That would be a good answer as to why that's the case. So, back to the original question, though, I like Palmer. I think Palmer's a nice player. I think Moore being significantly better than Palmer would surprise me. I could see them being similar. I mean, the numbers say they're similar players. And which of the other two? It's not going to be Khalil Shakir. I guess, what have to happen, it would be Coleman not taking a step forward. But even Coleman, if Coleman doesn't give you a giant leap, Coleman does because of his body type. I think a lot of things for this offense that you're just never even going to ask of Elijah Moore, right? When last year Mac Hollins is playing all those snaps, it's not just because he's getting the ball all the time. He had the same amount of receptions as Curtis Samuel did last year. But he was on the field all the time. Why? Because he's big and he's physical, and the Bills wanted to run the ball a lot last year, and they're going to need some of their receivers to be big and physical. And that's going to be Coleman. I think maybe even if he doesn't take a big step forward, Moore is not going in on those plays. So I think he'll have a tough time cracking the top three. Even if he might be, I think pretty talented. And on other teams, like he just wasn't Cleveland, capable of being even number two guy.
Trying to remember last year, I know we went back. I know Tyrell Shavers kind of was the guy who we thought might make the team.
Sure, right.
Is there really any thought that anybody outside of the five we're talking about? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tyrell Shavers, I guess Laviska Shenault would come in here, but only because of his kick return ability.
Right, he's not playing offense.
And I've said this before. He's not, like, I know there's a debate out there that I've got into with people about he's fighting for the same job as Brandon Codrington. He's not. They don't do the same thing. But I understand the thought of, could you really afford to keep two return men? Totally get that. And Codrington, by the way, is a DB. Laviska Shenault's a wide receiver. Laviska Shenault, to me, would be maybe the only guy because of that, but he falls into a different bucket. At wide receiver itself, actually on the field playing wide receiver, I mean, Tyrell Shavers, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler. It's the same as last year. You're right there. Chase Claypool was there and then he was gone. I don't know if any of them have any... I think I give them a less shot now, I guess, Joe, is the best I'd say. Yeah. A worse, lesser shot now for a guy like Tyrell Shavers to make the team than actually when they got to training camp last year and we started watching things.
I would agree with you. I think they are better at the position than they were last season. I think the change from, I mean, and you're going back to training camp, which is right to do, and that doesn't even count Amari Cooper, who wasn't here at that point in time. Because I think Moore and Palmer is an upgrade over Hollins and Cooper. But if you go back to training camp, right, when Cooper's not even here, there was definitely a spot available. Especially when there was a good thought that Claypool could take that spot. And remember, he got hurt, was it the second day of training camp that Chase Claypool got hurt?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
And then he just never came back on the field.
Back, yeah.
So that was another spot that we thought, okay, this guy, I mean, look at him. You know, he's a freak athlete. He looks the part on the field. But, oh, nope, now he's not out there. So maybe now there's even another spot that was available. So I would agree with you. Like, Shavers or Hamler or is Andy Isabella still floating around the practice squad? he might not be
he's
anymore.
Not. You want me to give you the names?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here are the names below the top five: Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel Moore. Tyrell Shavers, Laviska Shenault, who's mm-hmm. more of a kick returner, Jalen Virgil, KJ Hamler, guys who were here last year in the system. Caden Prather, rookie
seventh
they drafted.
Round. Yep.
And then Christian Wilkerson, who they signed as a free agent. I didn't know much about him until I read the bio.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to tell you this. He actually made a couple of nice grabs yesterday.
All
Christian
right.
Wilkerson. He's a journeyman. He's been around the league for like 4 years. And then you have a couple of undrafted free agents. Kelly Akarari, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah.
And Steven Gosnell. That's it. I mean, I don't see anybody on this list, even the drafted guy, Caden Prather.
Yeah.
You might give him, because of the asset, a better shot than a Virgil or a Hamler. Like, mm-hmm. hey, we put an asset into this guy. I think he is destined to be on the practice squad. Like, that to me screams Justin Shorter, let's see what happens kind of thing.
Yep. None of those guys there's nobody on that list that I could see beating out anyone in the top five.
Correct.
I'll put it that way. I think their top five, unless, right, something happens, you know, in the locker room or someone gets hurt, I don't see that top five changing. Except for the order of the five. And you're right. Maybe Samuel and Moore at 4 or 5 is the biggest.
So to me, it's Shakir, Coleman, Palmer are, in fact, I might even say, I'm going to put them in three tiers. Shakir and Coleman are at the top. There's a line, Josh Palmer. There's a line, Samuel Moore.
Ooh.
No?
Depth chart-wise, snaps, like what do you think they're going to catch? Like,
usage,
how would you define that?
Usage, okay. Depth chart, snaps. You might not get the targets. Maybe four gets more targets than three, but like you're on the field and contributing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Right?
It might end up, this might not end up being a good conversation because it could end up being close. Like, if one guy gets 900 and the other guy gets, you know, 800, you know, whatever. But I would not be surprised. I might pick Palmer.
To be
one of their top two.
Oh, okay. Who does, I mean, over, who is he over?
Over Coleman. I think Coleman's going to be a fine, good, useful player for them.
All right.
I guess I would think
I
it's more likely that Palmer with a better offense with Josh Allen being a veteran is going to, his ascension to me is more likely than Coleman's in year two. Put it that way.
So let's do it this way then.
It's the type of player. I like the separators.
Okay. You get a Shakir, Coleman, Palmer tier.
Yep.
Top three. Samuel Moore tier. That's it. Right? And then after that, there's a Shavers, Virgil, Hamler, Shenault tier, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. If we're tiering them, I almost, though, want to, in a way, put Shakir on his own tier. Because even though I like the idea of Palmer, and I think Coleman, there's a potential for another step, there are questions about all four of those guys, if we're just talking top five here. There's a question about Palmer. Can he take a step on a new offense? There's a question about Coleman. There's a question about Samuel staying healthy. There's a question about Moore. Shakir is pretty rock solid, isn't he? isn't Shakir the one of the five where, oh, you know he's going to be, he's going to have his role, he's going to do really well at it, he's going to be a big part of the offense. Like, I don't have a question about Khalil Shakir, which is why I almost want to, you know, someone will come close to his production, but he's the one guy I don't have any, what would the concern be? It would just be injury, like, and that would be anybody. So, I don't have a question about him.
Evan tweets in, thanks a lot, getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. He says, here's a question. Who has the potential to be this year's MVS? High expectations just doesn't work out. My question is, Evan, were there really high expectations for MVS? I don't know. It was, hey, maybe this guy works out. It looked pretty good at one point, maybe early on in training camp, but I don't think there were like these high expectations.
Would you say there were higher expectations or similar expectations to what there would be for Elijah Moore right now? Which is,
yeah,
just,
and by the way, does someone have to be? Does someone have to be this year's MVS? If you think there's high expectations, yeah, but doesn't work out, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I mean, the likelihood that all five work out the way you want it to, I mean, the math of that just tells you someone's going to let you down.
But if that's what you mean, who's the guy where, okay, out of the five, is there a guy where you're like, at the end of the day, you're like, man, we thought we'd get more this year.
This is why I like their group, though, right now.
Because if to me, Moore, that's got to be either Moore or Samuel.
I agree. And Samuel could just be because of injury. I like Samuel when he's on the field, but it could be injury.
Right.
MVS, I mean, my problem with MVS was always that he wasn't a well-rounded player. He had drop problems. He didn't have a full route tree. He didn't play in the slot. He was a downfield threat on the outside. That kind of a one-trick pony. And I don't see Moore that way. And if that's the fifth guy versus the fifth guy from last year, I got a guy from last year with all those, you know, inconsistencies. And Elijah Moore, he hasn't put the numbers up, but the skill set presents itself as somebody that could do everything. He could play outside, he could play in the slot, he can run all the routes, he can catch the ball, he can't block, so that's the one thing. But everything else is there, and that was not the case for MVS last year. So I wouldn't think there would be an MVS. Guy getting cut 5 weeks into the season, 6 weeks into the season, whatever that ended up being.
I mean, then he went, obviously, to New Orleans, and he has a two-touchdown game, yeah, and suddenly it's literally Isaiah Hodgins revisited from the year before or whatever.
Yeah.
When he went to the Giants and had this great start. But
yeah,
ultimately, would he have... I mean, maybe you could argue he could have helped the Bills. I don't know. I don't know what of an impact MVS would have really made on this team last year.
I think they did fine. They did fine replacing him with Cooper on the roster, which was, I think, that lined up about...
Who's, by the way, also not signed.
Not signed. That's right. Before we get to a break, ESPN yesterday, ESPN Analytics, their first football power index of 2025. You'll see that reference throughout the season. They got their formula. They put everything into it on the rosters. The Bills come in at number five. The four teams ahead of them, all pretty close together, by the way. In fact, the Eagles through the Bills is 1 through 5. All of that is within 1 point of each other. The next team below the Bills is 2 points lower. So there's basically a tier one on ESPN's first FPI. The five teams: Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, Bills. Feel fair? Does anybody else deserve inclusion there?
The top five.
Washington, Cincinnati, Green Bay are the next three teams after that. There's kind of a, in their first of the year, there's a tier break.
Okay.
It's those first five.
Give me them again.
Eagles, Chiefs, Ravens, Lions, and Bills. And then tier break.
Yeah. What's the most likely team out of the top five to not live up to that? You're going to say Chiefs. I know you are.
It's just because I laughed. Lions?
I think the Lions lost too much from their coaching staff.
They did lose
a little. They lost a ton of coaches.
Except for Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll have a new play caller on both sides of the ball because Campbell's not a play caller.
Right.
So yeah, they'll have a new offensive play caller. And
they're
defensive.
Talented. They're good.
Yeah.
And we know that, right?
I think
Plus, they're in a North division that's pretty darn good.
Yep. I want to say Chiefs. That's not me saying Chiefs. I'm saying I want to say Chiefs. There's a difference there. I'm scared to say Chiefs.
I know.
I didn't like their offseason. I thought their biggest problem was offensive line, and I don't think they fixed it. But they had a bad offensive line at times last year, and they won 15 games. So, like, there's that. I don't know how much to ding them for it. They got lucky in a lot of games last year, and I think they could get unlucky in 4. They didn't, and they'll still win 11. So, I'm too afraid to say Chiefs, but I think they would be the team I'm staring at for your question. How about in the other way? One team that jumps up into that top 5.
Who are the next on the group?
Washington, Cincinnati, Green Bay, the Rams, the Niners, Denver is on here.
Ooh, man. I'm going to say not Denver. I think that that's still... Yeah, I mean, I like a little bit about Denver. The Rams are sneaky here. It's got to be the Bengals because of just what they can do on offense, right? I know their defense still has question marks, but huge. I just don't know how you can ignore the Bengals there and how good they and dynamic they can be on offense and just boat race you.
I might say Green Bay. Youngest team in the league the last 2 years. If they keep maturing and they get a couple of young guys that were rookies that take steps forward, the only thing is Jordan Love's got to stop playing like 2019 Josh Allen.
Yeah, but you know
he is
Joe. That's exactly the reason I don't put them there is
because he's so erratic.
No. What you just said, youngest team in the league last 2 years. Are they going to mature? They're already talking about moving wide receivers out because. Yeah, they've been young, but they haven't had the next guy yet, right? Like,
yeah, they drafted a new one,
right?
Young guy.
I just think it's almost like we've been talking about them taking that step. It reminds me a little bit. I know they've won more about the Sabres. They say, "Oh, wait, young team. Here we go." I just couldn't get it there.
That's right. Ooh, how do I feel about that as a comparison? You're right. They've won more, but. Yeah, that's not bad. They still are. I wonder where they would rank. They probably would still be one of the youngest.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if they weren't still like one of the three to five youngest teams. 803-0550 is the phone number. Josh has some trivia for us when we come back. So,
and I have, I don't know if you have the audio. We can find it. I'll read you what Terry Bradshaw, Hall of Fame quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, said about the Steelers' yay or nay on Aaron Rodgers.
He had some harsh things to say.
Yes, he did.
We'll get that to you as well. Stay tuned. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy off this week. Sal's in, and this is WGR.
What do you think about possibly Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback? That is just, to me, is a joke. What are you going to bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California and go,
thank
go
you.
Somewhere and, thank and you. Chew on bark and... and whisper to the gods out there. I had to go over and introduce myself to him. I had to go, hey, Aaron, I'm Terry Bradshaw. I know he knows me, but I just felt like I better tell him who I am. You know, you walk in there and you get in his presence and you feel like it's going to start snowing.
What?
Terry Bradshaw.
Wow.
Not a fan of Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh, which has not happened yet, by the way. Is he right? Are they dumb? If they do it? Which, by the way, I think they're going to do it. I think 100% what's happening right now is Rodgers just doesn't want to take part in the offseason programs.
I think that's probably exactly what's happening, to be honest with you. I think the Steelers want to do it. I think the question is, does he want to do it? Yeah, I think the Steelers want to do it.
Do you think they could both know that it's going to happen and still not have it happen yet? Couldn't they just say, all right, we're going to do this? Yeah, and like he says, well, one of my stipulations is I don't want to show up till training camp. Would they just not say, okay, well, let's sign. We're good with that. You can skip mandatory mini camp to go to Egypt or whatever you want to do. I don't know.
Sure. I think that's very possible. Because they know what their alternative is.
Mason Rudolph.
Yes. And I don't think that they're ready to go into the year with Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback only if they have to.
Yeah, I don't think they would want to do that.
Correct.
Their actions having him be the only other real option under center would also indicate that they think they're signing him. Because there's no plan B. Right now. Well, I guess Rudolph is the plan B. There's no good plan B. Unless, Kirk Cousins didn't show up to OTAs in Atlanta. They could do that. Is that much worse of an idea? than Rodgers. He has a he has a big contract.
I always felt that that could be in play, but I mean, that I don't know how they work out the money there with all that.
Right, because part of the rumor is the Falcons want a team to take on the majority of the $20 million that he's owed, that he's still owed. And would the Steelers want to do that? I mean, really, the thing, though, is like, what $20 million or $25 million, whatever that number ends up being, that you're going to have to give for Kirk Cousins, what are you going to give Aaron Rodgers? You're going to give him $20 to $25 million, aren't you? You're not getting him for $10, $15 million. Although, I guess I don't know. I don't know what that contract will look like. 1 year, $25, $30 million, if they can even afford that. I don't think the money should get in the way of Cousins if they wanted to do it. If Rodgers said today, I'm not doing it, I'm retiring, I mean, I think the Kirk Cousins train to Pittsburgh would start immediately. It's just that feels like the most natural guy that could start that isn't in a spot right now. He clearly wants out of there, and it hasn't happened. 803-0550, the phone number. Josh, you have instant trivia for us?
I do. There was a milestone goal last night for Corey Perry.
Oh.
Okay.
So Corey Perry scored last night, and he now has 60 goals in his career in the playoffs. That puts him tied for fourth all-time among active players.
Okay.
Who are – I'm going to do top 10 here. And this is – you know, some of them you might get, some of them you might not. But who are the top 10 guys currently active in the NHL in playoff goal scoring?
Okay, the top 10 active goal scorers in the playoffs. And Corey Perry is one of them.
Corey Perry is currently tied for number four.
Okay.
I think that there's two or three at least that are easy to get right away.
Sure.
Sidney Crosby.
Yep.
Alex Ovechkin.
Gotta be.
Steven Stamkos.
Got it.
Crosby and Ovechkin. Crosby's two, Ovechkin's one. Stamkos is 10.
Oh,
close.
Just under the wire, but wow.
Hey, Stamkos was one of the ones I wasn't sure if you guys were going to get because he's a little not
Because
someone
you
think of.
He missed whole Lightning playoff runs.
Yeah, you remember
when
that?
He
came that 1 year. You were going to say this?
He played one game. He had missed the whole year. Was it blood clots even? Or maybe
I think it was when he had blood clots in his leg. He came
and
back
he's still his 10th.
He missed the whole year. He played the one game. I think he played 5 minutes, but he scored.
First
and they
shift,
won the cup.
I think, too.
His first
and it
shift.
Got him into the top 10. Got me an answer here.
By the way, the benchmark is 50.
Okay.
Stamkos has 50
goals. So this is 50 or more goals.
50 or more goals. Current.
Should I have stopped myself? What about Leon Draisaitl?
I don't think he's played.
I saw last night he scored his 20th playoff goal, power play goal.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oh, so he has to have 30. He has to have 30 non-playoff, even strength, shorthanded, whatever, you know?
I'm going to guess Draisaitl.
Incorrect. 48.
I don't even know if McDavid would be on this list.
So Draisaitl has more power play goals in the playoffs than he has even strength?
I don't even think McDavid would be on this list yet, to be quite honest with you.
Patrick Kane?
Patrick Kane's got to be on this list.
Patrick Kane is. He is number 7.
Yeah. Oh,
he's actually tied with someone for number 7.
Is Jonathan Toews considered active?
No. Mm. He's not on this list.
Okay.
So.
Okay, because you're talking about the...
He's coming back.
Because you're talking about the Oilers, I'm thinking West, I'm thinking Nathan MacKinnon.
That's correct, number 6.
Good one.
Okay.
Scores a lot of goals.
Yeah. If
so far, you're missing 3, the other person tied for 4, the other person tied for 7, and 9.
If MacKinnon's on, it makes me more...
Rantanen, right?
No.
I don't know.
I was gonna come back to McDavid. If MacKinnon can make it, McDavid.
Incorrect.
How many does McDavid have? Oh, he's close. Okay.
He's 8 away.
Okay.
Yeah.
From this list.
He's probably got 300 assists.
Oh. Brad Marchand.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's the guy tied for number 4.
Okay, yeah, he's got to be on this list.
He also has 60.
What about Kucherov?
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's the guy tied for number 7 with Patrick Kane with 53. So you're currently missing number 9.
That's it?
Yes, that's the last guy you're missing.
Hmm.
This is he's kind of a more obscure player, but he was on a team that went on many cup runs.
Many cup runs.
Andre Kopitar.
Incorrect.
Ooh.
He didn't say obscure. He said a more obscure player, by the way.
Well, I don't think you could be very obscure if you're scoring 50 playoff goals.
He's currently not on that team. He's just a guy you wouldn't think
of.
That's
fine.
But he's not on that team anymore. He's on a new team.
Well, it wouldn't...
Many cup runs.
Well, I say Ryan O'Reilly wouldn't qualify here, right? We can't go.
He wouldn't have scored enough.
No.
I'm thinking of a Lightning player. Because they went on many.
Well, I know
runs.
It's not a Leaf! Just wanted to say it. That was awesome. We can joke about That's the funny. Sabres, but how about that? Leafs too, right?
What about here's a shot in the dark. How about Tyler Johnson?
Incorrect.
Tyler Seguin.
Also incorrect. Oh. Joe had the right team.
Oh.
Tampa.
Tampa.
Not on Tampa anymore, though.
It's not Stamkos, not Kucherov.
All right, hold on. Let's figure this out.
Point? No, he's on that team.
No, he's still on the team.
But that would be my next guess. You're right. I'd get to him. You're right.
Who's like a oh.
I'm drawing a blank.
Ooh, Marchessault.
Incorrect. He was never on Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking
he
of
was Florida. His I'm nickname is Sneaky P, according to Hockey Reference.
Sneaky P? Yeah, he must be sneaky because I don't have his nickname and I still don't know.
Yeah.
So his last name or first name.
Instead of helping us, the bullpen is saying, do away with the trivia. Why? Trivia is great. What is wrong with exercising your brain on sports trivia? Buffalo motivated. Thank you, by the way, for coming in the chat. Trivia is great.
This feels like we should have this.
What about... I don't want you to give... I don't want another hint. Not yet.
I don't know if I can give any more
that's
hints.
Fine,
I might
that's
just
fine.
Give it away at this point.
You're looking for a Tampa Bay Lightning who literally he got his nickname, and he doesn't play for the team anymore. He scored 50 playoff goals, and he's still in the league.
The nickname might have hurt us because I really don't
who is this?
Want to just be thinking of people whose last names start with P now.
He has 51 playoff goals.
Okay.
Who is someone guessing? Patrick Maroon?
Patrick Maroon is not.
No, it's not going to be. No. He's played a long time ago. Right?
Yeah, and he didn't score. Also scored like 4 goals in his career.
Right.
It's not. He's not on Tampa anymore.
To
he's
answer
not,
the question,
he left
I'm,
Tampa
so it's not
3 years
Gensel.
Ago.
So it's not
I'm
Jay
reading
Gensel.
The bullpen no, as you guys are doing this, and I want you to know it is Owen Parker. It's big giant goalie son. Who's it's not Derek Kramer who's talking into the mic. The third person you can't see.
Oh yes, it is.
So
me,
this
Owen.
Guy was drafted to this team in 2012, and he left 3 years ago.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know.
He went from the Atlantic to the Metropolitan.
Oh my God.
I mean, what?
From
was
Tampa. From
can you give
Tampa
us his initials? Initials.
He went from Tampa to New Jersey.
Oh, Andre Palat. Oh.
Yep.
Is the name
come on.
Sitting here trying to figure
come
out.
On.
Andre Palat.
Andre Palat has 15
Number
power
nine.
Play goals. He's
more not. Power play goals in his career than
oh,
Connor
yeah,
McDavid.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Thank you, Andrew. Did anybody say Malkin? Is he not on this list?
Somebody said Malkin.
We didn't. Nobody. Didn't nobody guessed Malkin. Malkin.
I thought you said Malkin.
We didn't say
I missed
Malkin.
That. Then. Well, Malkin's number three.
Well, then everything right. that we That's did wrong is disqualified. We got everything right because you screwed it up, pal.
Hey, wait! You still didn't get Andre Palat.
Thank you very much, Andrew Miller in the bullpen. That's why you're there, bullpen, is because to correct our mistakes. Nobody said Evgeny Malkin.
Are you familiar while we're on hockey with the minimums for the Stanley Cup and who gets their name on it?
No, I know that there's been a lot of kind of controversy over the years on names that are or aren't on the cup.
Sure. So like Jeff Skinner, for instance, who's in Edmonton right
okay.
now, he played game one of the first round, had an assist, by the way, and has been a healthy scratch every game since. Should he get his name on the cup?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he does meet the minimum because the minimum,
He's
I guess,
on the roster.
It's 50 games in the regular season or a final game.
50 games on the roster or 50 games played?
50 games played.
See, I have an issue with this.
Wait. That's a good question.
If you're on the roster and you're a healthy scratch, to me, I don't care if it's for 82 games. Like, you're part of the roster. You're practicing every day, ready to go in the lineup.
Yeah.
I think you should be a part of this.
Yeah. Well, he is, one way or another.
Okay.
He also might get in the lineup because when they've had injuries, he's been practicing on the third line. Mm. And I guess, I was reading about it yesterday, he might get in because they now... Oh, who got hurt for them last night? Zach Hyman got hurt last night.
I didn't see that.
And we'll see if he can play. If not, it's probably Skinner. And I guess the Oilers actually liked Skinner at the end of the regular season. They haven't enough to put him in the playoffs, but 17 points in his last 30 regular season games, something like that. And then he had a point in his one playoff game, so he might get in. All right, when we come back in Extendo Sports, there's a famous movie series that is being made into a TV series as a remake. I'm going to ask Sal,
okay.
we need a remake of this movie already.
breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Today might be a little tough because of the rain. Maybe you can find a way to get some golf in. If you want a great deal on golf, check out the WGR VIP golf card. You get 8 awesome experiences. Diamond Hawk Golf Course, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Baba Links Golf Course, also Golf Dojo. You can definitely do that today while it's raining. Your WGR VIP golf card will also hook you up with a box of Vero 1X1 golf balls from Encore Golf. You get some deals from Rick Zurak Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville as well. Portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. What TV show, what former movie, I should say, is being made into a series?
Movie into a series. Well, we had series turned into movies before.
Mm-hmm.
Done that.
This is just movie. A straight remake, by the way. This isn't like Star Wars has a bunch of spin-off series that right. follow different storylines. You don't get a remake.
Is this a popular
episode
movie?
Episode 5. Very, very popular movie. I would say one of the most popular franchises in history, I would assume.
Can you give me a genre? Comedy?
Sci-fi.
Drama?
Sci-fi. Closer to sci-fi. Yeah.
Avatar.
No. If I give, the only hint in my head is going to give it away about wizardry.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter is being made into a series.
Okay. I kind of think it's already
HBO.
A series.
It kind of, yeah. Okay, yeah. By HBO.
Okay.
So HBO, I mean, almost everything HBO puts out is pretty darn good.
When Hard Knocks meets Harry Potter.
Do we need a Harry Potter remake already? Hasn't it? When did the last movie come out?
I'm not sure.
10 years ago?
They're still making prequel Harry Potter movies every once in a while. Like,
okay.
All the stuff there, about are Dumbledore there? Before Harry Potter.
Hey, before we go.
2016.
Before. Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of the it's Extra Point Show coming up. I was thinking we had to get to One Bills Live, Extra so we had a minute, show. So I apologize. I didn't want to cut you off
there. No, go ahead.
But 2 injury notes that I'm reading here. Number one. Uh-huh. Apparently, Malik Nabers has been dealing with a toe injury since college. He's actually not going to practice today at OTAs for a toe injury that's dated back to college.
That's not good.
Right. He just needs rest. He did not have a procedure, according to what Connor Hughes just tweeted.
Okay. That's weird.
You just said it about Zach Hyman. Word is he will not play in Game 5 and probably unlikely for the rest of this series.
Woo.
We'll see after that.
10 days until the finals start. So he's got 10 days. Mm-hmm. If they can close him out, he's got 10 days.
No Zach Hyman, though, against the Dallas Stars, even up 3-1, is a problem for the for the Oilers. They need all hands on deck. This has been a nice run for them, but they're getting a lot of supplemental play.
I mean, he's their first-line winger, power play.
Right. It's McDavid, not just McDavid and Draisaitl in this series.
No.
And this
so
playoff.
Him out, I think it's left wing. I mean, the next guy in the lineup is Jeff Skinner. I don't think they would put him right on the top line, but he'll probably go up in the top six. Well, good for him. Although not good that Hyman missing time. I mean, everyone loves Hyman. He's been a great player. Last thing, and then we got to go. Panthers and Oilers is the series we want.
It's the series I want.
The rematch.
I'd like it to go the other way this time.
I would agree with that. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Let's see McDavid win one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show is on the way next. Zach and Derek. So stay tuned. Line up the phone calls. James Cook, Joey Bosa, a lot more on the table for you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6. Joe Marino will be on tomorrow with us at 8. Stay tuned for Zach and Derek. We'll talk to you tomorrow.